Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Gentlemen, shall we do this from the rugby dungeon?
Yes, Tim, let's do it.
Phil?
I'm ready, Tim.
Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Here we go then with the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast from JB's Basement, a.k.a. the Rugby Dungeon. And we have just finished an incredible weekend of rugby. I'm just going to go out on a limb straight away, gentlemen, and say already the 2015 World Cup is the greatest World Cup ever. Discuss.
Yeah, why not? Do you know what? It's such a relief. Everything is such a relief. We started off on Friday. And do you know what? I kind of thought after Friday, I've built up this for 3 years and it kind of felt like it let me down. And someone tweeted us, your podcast was nothing but a whinge fest. And that individual was right. But thankfully, Saturday, I fell in love again with rugby.
Can I just distance that comment? I don't think they were necessarily referring to me and Phil in that occasion. The last podcast, JB, was a whinge fest.
Oh,
it was, wasn't it?
But you fell back in love with rugby, Jay.
You can lust after any woman, but you can only truly love the game of rugby like it was on Sunday.
Right. There's only one place to start. It is the greatest Rugby World Cup moment ever, quite arguably. Certainly the biggest upset.
It's one of the biggest upsets I think I've ever seen in world sport, regardless of the World Cup rugby. I can't ever remember something like that. No, it's such an underdog victory.
I mean, France beating the All Blacks is, ooh, that's a big upset. Not really. 15 professional players, not that the Japanese aren't professional, by the way, but, you know, 15 high-level players against 15 other high-level players, it can happen. This is unheard of. It's not like they're all playing in top 14 clubs or there's a couple of guys in Super Rugby, but nothing much, really.
Nothing at all,
These aren't players that you hear of on a regular basis or household names.
And I hope that some of the, you know, people that aren't as passionate about rugby as you clearly are, because you've downloaded this, you obviously love the game because that's why you're listening to this and we are. If anyone needed to know how amazing just Rugby World Cup and Rugby Union is, the fact that you had a whole full stadium in Brighton going bananas at not even their team that they were supporting at that Japan victory, and you were in Carlisle playing, weren't you, and the clubhouse was rocking.
I was in Carlisle and I'd just been punched in the face by their second row. Not in the clubhouse, you know.
Was he a South African just upset or something? No, was this during the game?
This is during the game, so I've got a big like gash against my eye. And we pretty much ended up hugging as Japan went over for that last try. Is it Kane Hesketh? Is that what you say?
Hesketh. Hesketh.
Hesketh,
yeah.
Hesketh.
The reserve winger who scored in the corner.
Oh,
a beautiful image.
I was the same. I was jumping up and down. I was with a few mates just watching it in someone's front room, and we were, again, going absolutely bananas.
JB!
Oh, no.
Who had 3 minutes 30 on the on the sweepstake for Jay's phone going off?
Sorry. Turn off the other one.
But it's such a victory. I was so, like, nervous, excited. Those mixed emotions. Like, so built up for it.
Do you know what the most amazing thing was? It wasn't like it was a 15-12 game and, you know, it's just a good defence and a few kicks and a really... This is real rugby. Attacking rugby. They scored, what, was it 31 all in the end? No, sorry.
33-32.
Yes.
Just some tweets...
No, 32-34.
Yeah, exactly. Some tweets we received during the game. Bolly and Jack on Twitter said, "Love Japan. Tackle low, scrummage hard, run straight. love it. And it was really quite simple what they did, but they just took South Africa on.
They really did.
Even at the driving mall.
Yeah, the driving mall, their scrums, 100% scrum success. And their scrummaging was brilliant. The fast hooking.
I'm not going to go as far as to take credit for this. But I did. But I did last...
But, yeah. I'm not going to it, but...
I did last podcast allude to Japan's scrummaging and how they have routinely said that they believe that they can scrummage with the best in the world. And they can. They absolutely can. And I don't know what the pack weight difference was, but I imagine it was significant. You know, in the land of giants, which we currently reside in.
When you've got someone like Eben Etzebeth.
And
Lou De Jager.
Tycho Anomaly on Twitter said, Japan, by the way, have got a better Gloucester kit than Gloucester.
That was great chat.
That was after my Canada have a better Wales kit than Wales.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they do.
The Japan victory. So their set piece was solid. Some of the attacking play was excellent. Like the second to last try that they scored... The backs move, the interchange of passing was superb. But then the composure in those last 5 minutes when they were camped on South Africa's line and they had scrum after scrum and they had lineouts and everything went to hand and they kept holding the ball. This is the biggest compliment you can give. And it was like watching New Zealand. It was like watching a team as composed and experienced and as clinical as New Zealand play.
I think this is why it's so amazing. I can't imagine the pressure they must have felt. Do we kick for the draw, or do we scrimmage with the South Africans?
Oh, to go for it as well. Think of how many international captains of much more teams of more pedigree would have gone for sticks.
Yeah,
I was sitting there with the Broughton Park coach, who's also a very highly regarded coach in the RFU. He's saying, "Kick it, just go for the draw, go for the draw." And then he just scrimmaged with them once. I think the scrum's reset three times.
But they got a penalty from the first scrum, and they said scrum again. They got a penalty in their favour.
And anyone who's listened to podcasts in the past knows how much I love reset scrum after reset scrum. I genuinely do.
Fortune favours the brave blossoms, and well done, Japan. It was
well
amazing.
Well done indeed.
I'll just say one more thing about it. I felt like it was a really profound moment.
It was.
Like, an hour after it, I was sitting there, and I still had, like... My adrenaline was up, my heart was beating faster than normal, my hands were, like, shaking a little bit. It actually had physiological changes.
Around the breakfast, we were having breakfast as a family this morning, so it's Sunday now, so this was the day after the game. And I said, oh, just watch this. Played the last 10 minutes. And my lad was eating his breakfast, about to go off to mini rugby. And I watched it with my wife, Kate, and she went, at the end, she went, oh my God, I actually feel quite emotional. Yeah. Watching that, it was like just the joy and the way they were bundling together. It was like a Hollywood film. And Phil Gray on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, you can get in touch with us. He said, cue Hollywood, a Japanese cool runnings, please.
Oh, yes, please.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, if you're gonna wait to get a scalp, that's a scalp you want, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Opening weekend.
Yeah. Just unbelievable. Just incredible. Such
the only
a good
ones
moment
even
for
close
rugby.
To it are probably the famous France victories over New Zealand.
Yeah,
or maybe the Argentine victory over South Africa.
It's in a World Cup.
No, it's South Africa. Sorry, France.
This is why I'm saying already this is, for me, the best World Cup ever, because never before have the lesser, in inverted commas, teams been so competitive. And we will talk about USA Samoa. We'll talk about Georgia v Tonga and the other games in just a minute. But we have got to let you know about this. We have got a coup for you. Thank you very much for listening. You can listen on the Acast app. You can listen on iTunes if you subscribe. Well, you'll get the next episode delivered straight to you, and we're going to do one on Wednesday after the games then. But with DHL, who, as you know, they're delivering rugby to the world, we have got a pair of tickets to go and see Australia versus Wales at Twickenham on Saturday, October the 10th.
That might be an important game, you know.
That could be a very important game.
Yeah. I don't care. The amazing thing is, whatever the results up to that point, that is...
There's a high
crucial
chance.
Game.
That's a high chance that will not be a dead rubber game. That's what I'm saying.
There's no chance of it being a dead rubber game.
The only thing would be if Wales lose all their games, like, including to Fiji,
which is possible.
Which is possible, but it's looking like that will be.
Would be whether England get top spot versus Australia. So the importance of this game cannot be overestimated. And to get a pair of these tickets is a coup. They could be yours. JB is desperately trying to work out a way that he can win them, but we've locked it down. So just want to say thanks to DHL. They are the official logistics partner of the Rugby World Cup 2015. And they are letting a lucky egg chaser with a mate head to Twickenham on Saturday the 10th of October. Now, you may be aware, DHL's tagline is delivering rugby to the world. So here's what we've come up with. To win these tickets, you have to deliver us a story of your worldwide rugby moment. So all we want is a story. It could be meeting a player when you're on your holiday at the bar or something, and you've got a good story there.
I mean, we hope it's more than that, obviously.
Well, our favourite is going to win, so yeah, naturally.
We did get a...
Pull out all the stops.
Yeah, we did get a very amusing story about a guy who met a certain professional rugby player on holiday at the bar. But it was so amusing, we couldn't actually repeat it on air. So, not that kind of story, but any other kind of story would be great.
All right, so maybe it was you travelled to see a team play abroad somewhere and you just showed over and above commitment, or it could be a memory from a club tour you have. And what I want you to do is email that to us and email it to me and I'll have a look through them. So just, again, this is how we've locked it down so JB can't cheat and win them for himself because he's a Welshman and would love to go to that game. Just email it to tim@eggchasers.com. tim@eggchasers.com. Email me your story and our favourite will win a pair of Rugby World Cup 2015 tickets for Australia v Wales.
Hang on a second.
Game.
The big news here is that we've got an email address. How long have we had an email address for?
Well, about 2.5 years, however long we've been doing this podcast.
Crikey, I wonder what else have we started.
There's all the details. If you're really boring and you want to go and look at all the terms and conditions, if you've got no life and nothing else to do, that's absolutely fine with us. dhlrugby.co.uk/eggchasers. Competition is open now and closes on Friday, October the 2nd. Do you have a story of a worldwide rugby moment, Phil?
Worldwide, my favourite one is going to Chicago to go and watch USA versus the All Blacks. But one of my favourite moments was when I was a kid, when they had the Tetley's Bitter Cup years ago, and kind of just after professionalism, and Sedgley Park, the team that I played for and played for as a kid and played for as an adult, drew London Wasps, and London Wasps played at Sedgley Park.
Oh wow!
And there was about 2,000 people. Delalio was playing, Simon Shaw was playing, big names.
In much the same way, I remember going to watch Newbury play at Leicester Tigers and they almost won because it was one of the Leicester players at the time, this was in the 90s, one of the Leicester players had their stag do that night and they were all sort of... they were already all in party mode and thought, oh, we'll turn this Newbury team over and then we'll move on. And yeah, Newbury nearly did him. So, oh, that's awesome.
Didn't Sedgley Park end up having beers with... who was it? Like Red Roof or someone?
It wasn't Sedgley Park, it was Oral. This is... going back about 10 years when Oral were at the very start of their decline, and the last game of the season, I played with a few of the lads who played in this game, but the last game of the season they were away at Cornish Pirates and they were staying over the night before, and a few of them decided to go out for a few cheeky little pints because it didn't matter, it was a dead rubber game, and they got into one of the bars wherever they were in Cornwall. And half the Cornish Pirates team was there as well. They were like buying each other shots at the bar.
trying to get your opposite man more drunk than you are.
Exactly.
Go on then, JB. What have you got? A worldwide rugby moment?
I'm sorry, but it's fairly boring because I happened to go Phil to
you're
Chicago.
Not win, then. Oh, no, that's not boring.
Yeah, it was. Well, what happened is we actually got kicked out of... we showed up to Chicago and we wandered around the stadium, and as it happened, all the American guys seemed to have listened to the podcast. So we thought we were really popular. When the New Zealanders rocked up, they basically said, oh, right, you do a podcast? Great, now get out. that was basically the conversation with Media Joe. So we decided, well, we've got nothing else to do. So we went to and wandered around all of the executive boxes in Soldier Field, which was absolutely incredible. So yeah, we asked ourselves, I wonder where the owner sits. So we went up into the owner's box and watched the hacker from there. So they were practicing the hacker. So we got to watch the
New Zealand practice the hacker.
Yeah, they practice it. This is one of the weird things, actually. You just assume that they're all born in New Zealand and know the hacker, but they don't. They actually have to practice it at some point. So they go out to the training field, and every time they train, they seem to do a hacker, and that's that.
It was when we watched them. It was the very first thing.
The first thing they do.
As soon as everyone was on the pitch.
That'll get you in game mode. My rugby, worldwide rugby moment will be from the Hong Kong Sevens. There with my brother. Now, he's 6'6". So he plays for London Irish, second row and all the rest of it. Now, in Hong Kong, again, you're gonna accuse me of stereotyping the way.
Now
the
here
way
we
you
go, more racist comments.
the average height of people in Hong Kong is quite low, and people were just asking to take pictures of my brother everywhere he went, just because he was so big. They were going that some people that knew broken English were just going giant, and getting selfies with him and stuff just because he was massive. So there you go. So Tim at eggchasers.com, email your deliver us, I should say, your worldwide rugby moment, and with DHL, tell us your story, and before October the 2nd, and you could be at Twickers. To Kingsome, and where Georgia pulled off another amazing result in a day of amazing results.
I mean, it's not... I've got to be careful what I say here. To me, this is one of the most enjoyable games that I have watched in a long time.
Really?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful to watch. Just the sheer organisation, and this is a boring word, but it's I think it kind of summarises it quite nicely. The competence of what the Georgians did was quite outstanding. Their line-out was brilliant. Everything that they did worked. The driving game was tight. They hit the back ball with ease. I'm not entirely sure if they lost the line-out. Their hooker... Can really thrill. He can, Tom Youngs wants to have a look at, that's right, Jabba Bragvads, something, what his name is?
just call him Jabba. Jabba. Love it.
Jabba,
yeah.
The hooker.
Jabba
and
the
then
hook.
Bragvadza, or something.
Or something.
He currently plays in Georgia.
And ITV, now, if you need a new commentator, JB's here.
I also do afternoon speaking.
You can't have done a worse job at commentating than Jordan Murphy, by the way.
Oh, really?
What game was he commentating on? It was the one on Sunday morning, wasn't it?
He was the Island Canada. I saw him in the Island Canada game.
Now, amazing player. And Jordan, if you're listening, respect you incredibly. And what the content of what you say is always brilliant. But much like with Phil Neville when he had a go at doing football commentary.
This is a really respectful thing you're saying.
Can you just cheer up a bit, Jordan? Come on. It was like, yeah, that was a really good try. Yeah, he did well. Well played.
Tell you what, there are some ex-players that just need to learn to get off the fence. I'm not going to mention anyone, particularly no one who used to play on the wing for Sale. But they, you just can't get a comment or an opinion either way. It's always like, oh, the boys will work hard. They'll take him one game at a time, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Just think. If Jordan Murphy or I'll just pick a name out of the hat, Mark Cueto.
Yeah, for example.
Just picking random names out of the air. Just think, what would James Haskell do?
Absolute banter flying around already. Lads.
There you go.
Exactly right.
Yeah, the Georgia Tonga game, I enjoyed it, not because it was a great spectacle, but because of, like you say, the Georgian defence and their organisation was excellent. Tonga had 70% territory in possession. Georgia hardly had any ball, but what they did with it was intelligent. They kicked well, and that shift in defence, all led by Mamuka Gorgodza, who he is...
Gorgodzilla.
I mean, how many hours of time do we spend wasted talking about Wales or England or one of the major team set pieces? And Georgia just did it effortlessly.
Yeah, made it look easy.
Boys, you do it like this. I'll tell you the best thing about Georgia's set piece. They scrimmage and they've got obviously big props. So the props like settle down. They're about to engage. The second rows go in. They're about to engage. And then seven rocked up late, slaps the arse of the prop, engages, and then the eight rocks up even later, slaps the arse of the seven, and then engages. Now, I don't know if that's a one-off or what it is.
That's it. I imagine when they're doing their deadlifts and snatches in the gym, I imagine them just walking up, slapping each other on the backside before a rep.
Everyone loves a good arse tap.
Arse taps are for winners.
Oh, I mean, Exeter Chiefs take it one level higher. That's the secret. This is the cock tap.
Yeah, the cock tap is quite brave, isn't it, in today's society?
At the end of the game, after Georgia beat Tonga, because there was quite a lot of Georgians in the stadium, wasn't there? They had good travelling support. Someone on Twitter said that Mamuka Gorgodza is so popular that even if Beyonce walked in and started handing out £50 notes, she wouldn't get any attention because it's...
Palm off to the face.
Yeah.
She might have got an arse tap.
Maybe. What's
a
scrimmaging like? That's what Gorgodza would care about.
Do you know what's annoying me? Every advert, it seems, on TV revolves around one of two things. Some kind of everyman hacker where, you know, people from all walks of life do the haka. That's intensely dull. And the other one is some form of scrummaging, whether it be in high heels or some bastardization of our beautiful set piece, like lifting a bride up or a bridesmaid up to catch a bouquet of flowers.
But didn't you kind of like that with the...
No.
Do you remember the Lions tour when they sort of parodied rugby safari? Don't you remember?
I can't remember.
No.
They brought Brian O'Driscoll... I can't remember.
Which tour
now.
Was it?
The South Africa Lions tour.
Oh, 2009. I can't remember it.
No, I can't remember that either.
I remember those being really good little adverts. Anyway, cool story, bro. Cool story.
Thanks.
Don't enter that. If you enter that as your worldwide rugby moment, just...
I'll tell you
I kind of half remember those adverts that were all right.
I'll tell you what not to do.
You will lose.
And this is serious. Do not do this. If you don't know what the Georgian hooker's name is, because I can't pronounce it, do not Google Georgian hooker. Because I have done that. I did it today.
Very good.
Very good. Well done, Georgia. And so I'm standing by it. We haven't had a result like this at a World Cup and then two on the same day. I know that the Georgia beating Tonga wasn't as big a magnitude nearly as much as Japan, South Africa.
No.
But even so, Tonga are a team with World Cup pedigree, and Georgia...
Yeah, they're five places below them in the rankings. Tonga
is
11.
Is that all?
Tonga 11, Georgia 16.
16? Okay.
16, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to them playing Argentina now.
The scrimmaging in that.
I know it's going to be... Well, I think it's going to be an Argentine win, but who knows? If we knew, we wouldn't bother to play. But I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm thinking it was pointed out to us on Twitter, and it's at Rugby Podcast, as I said. It's been pointed out to us that most teams look like they have a hairdresser in camp.
Are we talking about Tongan hair?
And I think no more so is that the case than New Zealand. Oh, my word. They spend a long time.
Oh, no.
Zealand backs spend a long time on their hair.
You've got a long... No. The Tongan front row have got a very interesting kind of mix. We've got one with a high top. Guess that's okay. They've got one with a mohawk, but ultimately, you know, he's a front rower, so mohawk, you know, it happens. The last one is inexplicable. It is completely shaved off, except for a ponytail.
Yeah.
That's it. And I'm guessing he plays in Tonga, because I'd definitely notice this guy if he was in the Aviva, or even in, like, the top 14.
Yeah, just imagine sat down, so something for the weekend, sir. Yeah, everything off the front. And just leave the back as it is. That's fine.
Everything. Everything.
How close do you want me to go? Like, what, 4, 5 on the race? No, just bick it.
Yeah. Don't mess around. Yeah, quite an incredible hairstyle.
Just going back to your point, I think it is a bit premature to say the greatest World Cup ever. Because we had the Japan result is one of my favourite all-time sporting moments. I think it's incredible. There have been a couple of games that haven't been as good. Like the Ireland-Canada game.
Yeah. England wasn't a great game.
Thoroughly disappointed with Canada. England, it wasn't...
Wales was pretty miserable as well, to be fair.
Neither of those were great spectacles of rugby, but it's shaping up very nicely.
Mm.
There have been a few records this set.
Oh, here we go. Fact man, Phil, go on.
The South African team that lost was the most experienced team ever fielded in an international match.
Wow.
Yes, I knew that.
The most caps.
We need to get the fact sound effect in the rugby dungeon. We have had a couple of technical issues.
Finau Maka's Memorial Rugby Dungeon.
Wait, isn't Memorial, doesn't that mean he's passed away?
It just means JB.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
has fond memories of Finau Maka's antics in Dungeons.
Okay. there was the highest attendance at a World Cup match as well, Wembley.
South Africa record for most caps is correct.
Yeah.
But today it was broken by New Zealand, who have more caps again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's been broken twice. So you're kind of right.
Thanks. That's thanks, okay. Jay. It was at the time.
Yeah.
Where does that leave South Africa's pool? I mean, you would never write off a team like that.
No.
And Japan were excellent, so any team can be done by their day by Japan, which is the news here. That's the news here. They're a force.
Yeah.
But South Africa, if they win all of their remaining games, could still finish top of the pool.
They could.
They got four tries. They got a losing bonus point. They got 2 points.
It's a bit of an anomaly with the bonus point scoring system that you can actually lose a game. Well, sorry. A team that wins every game doesn't necessarily finish top of the pool.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous.
So theoretically, let's say Japan now win every game, a 4-point victory.
Yeah.
So then they would have 16 points. South Africa got 2 points from the Japan game. If they get 3 bonus point victories in their remaining games, they'd have 17 points.
Yes.
It's kind of ridiculous, and it's the reason, as we've discussed before, why the Six Nations don't have a bonus point system.
It is. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's unlikely, but it is crazy.
Japan versus Samoa strikes me pre-World Cup as a match between equals. And I still think it's going to be a match between equals. Now, I think you could flip a coin and say,
yeah,
either Japan or... I can't call that a game. And I'm not sure that Japan can beat Scotland. I think they can. I'm not sure they will. Sorry.
I also think on the back of that result, I think Scotland could potentially turn over South Africa.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Wow. It's become a pool of death as well. Because
no, that's a pool of certain death, isn't it?
A pool of certain death, yeah. it definitely is if you try tackling Alassana Tuilagi in full flow.
Pool of certain death and extreme mutilation.
Yeah. That was another great game, by the way, as well. Samoa-USA, that was an excellent game.
Yeah.
Two teams trying to play. It was disappointing the way it panned out. Now, that's the way I expected Japan, South Africa and Tonga, Georgia to pan out, is that after 60 minutes, the better team on paper would pull away.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what happened with New Zealand, Argentina as well.
Yeah, that was a good game. Argentina started very strongly. And
yeah.
They seem to have a lot of fears. There's some beautiful offloads. But as both teams started to get a little bit more tired, you could just see the All Blacks structure started coming into play, and then their skills started kicking into an extra gear.
Uncharacteristic number of errors from New Zealand close to the try line.
Yeah.
Three, wasn't it? I saw three certain tries
that they butchered.
Yeah, because New Zealand, early on, Argentina were in the ascendancy. And then, as like you say, as the game developed, New Zealand's fitness and their depth, it did come through. They had more territory, more possession, but were very un-New Zealand, and they weren't clinical.
If it wasn't for Milner Scudder's hands like feet, a beautiful offload by Sonny Bill would have resulted in a try.
Yeah, Milner Scudder was in my fantasy team as well.
Oh dear.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I had Surveyor and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, now he's another one. He started very brightly. He had about 7 carries. Well, it felt like he had 7 carries. I don't know how many carries he actually had. But it felt like he had a lot of carries.
That's the difference between Phil and JB right there. That attention to detail.
The difference is I speak from the heart and Phil's dead inside. He's a dead robot.
But by the way, a few things that people got in touch with us about, and I've got a few questions. Is the Rugby World Cup ball more bulbous than normal balls? It did look slightly rounder. Next time you watch a game, look at it.
All right, like a rugby league ball almost.
It's a bit more like a rugby league ball, yeah.
Yeah.
And does that make a difference in handling wise? Phil, yes. You know rugby league a little bit.
Yeah,
more,
I've played a bit of rugby league. It makes a difference in kicking, actually, because it's closer to rounder, so it'll travel straighter and truer. So kicking percentages in rugby league are generally a little bit higher than rugby union.
Banana Tom 24 on Twitter said the Egg Chasers podcast continues to be a major influencer, pointing out that ITV were now discussing the South African team blazers and how lovely they were.
Unbelievable.
So they're discussing stash, they're discussing blazers. Soon they'll be talking about having boots on in promotional shots. They clearly listen to the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, and we're glad about that.
Well, if they do, let's eliminate the knock-on, but we'll save that for another day.
Neil Back has tweeted and saying has had a comment. What's the name of the Fijian second row? Anyway,
Nakarawa.
Nakarawa has been cited in the England game after the referee saw that alleged tip tackle on Johnny May and said penalty, continue. The TMO had a look at it and said it's fine, penalty's enough. The citing officer, after they looked at it on the field of play, the TMO feels it necessary to cite the player.
Unbelievable.
And Neil Back's words are, if he's found guilty, the rugby world has officially gone PC mad. Have some empathy with our game.
Hear, hear.
Yes. Hear, hear, Neil Back.
It's nothing new. It's not like I've been saying this for about a million years now. I don't know who we're trying to appeal to, but there's a certain section in the rugby community that are determined to ruin this game. They are determined by hook or by crook to somehow ruin it for the people that actually really love it. There was nothing there. The referee dealt with it. End of.
We have the lessons of professionalism and we have the path that we do not want to go down. So let's not go down the path of football, please. Please.
It wasn't actually Nakarawa that was cited. It was the other second row. I've got his name here. Jay, do you want to try
Yeah, please.
Do you want to try and read it?
Okay, so I can confidently tell you now it is Wakanoru Atu. No idea.
Wales, then. So you're a Welshman, JB. Were you ever going to learn a lot from that Uruguay match?
No.
And if there's anything, what have you learned?
What can you possibly learn other than the Uruguayans are fairly handsome? But, I mean, what were you expecting from a bunch of Latin playboys that play international rugby as a hobby?
Did the commentators mention what jobs they do?
Oh, of course they did.
They love
of
a bit of that, they don't did. They?
Most of them are medical students. And then we had a few injuries. I was expecting that. I mean, it was going to happen.
It's part of Gatland's game plan, isn't it? More injuries.
So.
It's happening every game.
But luckily, it's only to Corey Allen.
Corey Allen, who scored a hat trick.
Against Uruguay. Who cares?
Yeah.
I'd probably bag two.
Phil Gray has tweeted on the subject of Wales' injuries at Rugby Podcast. He said possible replacement centres: 1, James Hook; 2, Justin Tipperick as an auxiliary centre; 3, Big Gav. And 4, Hugh from the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah, I'm probably just behind Hugh.
Yeah, 5, JB.
JB.
Is it not time that we pick up the phone and call Gavin? Let's call Gav. Let's give him the World Cup that not only he wants, but he so rightly deserves. Well, he's back fit. He's playing for Bristol. He's running the show.
He is.
Yeah,
he
I'm is. Just saying. And you want that long-range kicker? Just saying.
So the injuries from that game. So Corey Allen went off injured.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Williams went off injured.
Yep.
Samson Lee only played 40 minutes, but we don't know whether that was...
No, that was tactical.
That was tactical. Tipperick came on and then went off.
Yep.
Was there anyone else?
Didn't Tipperick start? Tipperick start?
Sorry, not Tipperick. Lydiate came on and then went off.
Apparently it's
Paul James as well. To his calf. Some damage to his calf. So you...
Wonderful.
When you combine that with the previous injuries that we've already discussed.
We'll be all right.
And the uncertainty around Alan Wynne-Jones as well.
Yeah, okay, so Alan Wynne will be... here's the important people. Alan Wynne, Bigger, Roberts, everything else can kind of slot into place, and Samson Lee. We kind of get those right and we're okay. Oh, and Warburton. And Warburton, yeah.
By the way,
I know
Phil's got some interesting stats on replacement prop Thomas Francis and his contribution to the game. Bearing in mind, they were rampant. They were attacking the whole half. The whole match, they were attacking the whole match. They were putting tries over for fun. And, Thomas Francis came on at half-time in the second half.
Played 40 minutes, didn't carry the ball once, didn't make a single tackle, received the ball once and gave one pass.
Wow.
That was it. So his line of stats looks, when you go left to right, 0-1-0-0-0-0-0-0.
What's that Morse code for?
I think it's binary.
Binary
for something. We have made the point before that he looks like a very good scrummaging prop, but he doesn't offer a huge amount around the park, does he?
Not particularly, no.
I mean, there's only one highlight from the World Cup so far, and that is the performance of Japan. But other than that, what was your sort of standout kind of moment from the opening weekend of the Rugby World Cup?
Not a standout moment, but maybe a standout thought for me, which is all these senior nations, and Phil disagrees with this, but this is my point of view. All these senior nations that are having huge training camps and going to Colorado or Switzerland or wherever it may be, doesn't seem to matter that much because you have people like Georgia and you have Japan who've just got the basics nailed down, go to World Cup and perform really, really well.
I look at it completely the opposite way, that all of the smaller teams have had more access, they've had longer training camps, they've had more games, more time together than ever before, and you're actually seeing the benefits of that. So it actually proves that the training camps are more important.
Well, you say that, but England have had a much larger training camp than Georgia, and Tom Young still can't throw a ball. So I don't know. I don't know. What do we need? Another week in Colorado? 2 weeks in Colorado? I don't know how to fix that.
How amazing could this World Cup be if every game was like that? Because we still have Ireland 50, Canada 7. We still have Wales 54, Uruguay 9. And you look at what happens when you get great coaches, Steve Borthwick assisting Eddie Jones and the team that they've built in Japan and the Georgia coaching team that they've got. As world rugby, let's try and fund these lesser nations.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Do you know, with football, when they have a World Cup in a weird place, I say weird, like a non-traditional football-playing nation, for instance, Japan and Korea, both those teams did relatively well because they got in good coaches and these non-traditional teams actually did okay. Switzerland did all right in the Euros, that kind of thing. We've never really had that with rugby. I'd like to see a World Cup go to the United States next.
Well, Japan in 2019.
Yeah, so that I mean, if you think Japan are good now, wait till 2019. Yeah. You can do an awful lot in 4 years.
Yeah.
And the one after that should definitely be United States and Canada.
Argentina?
Oh, imagine.
Yeah, Argentina.
Well, that's if we're allowed in.
Get some good beef there. I'd go on a road trip to South America to watch the World Cup. Uruguay
cool.
and Argentina joint.
Yeah.
Montevideo, Buenos Aires, and
other
cities in Argentina.
Why did you make that rugby back? You could have just gone with two cities.
What?
No, you had to be clever.
Name another city in Argentina.
I cannot.
Port Stanley.
Is that in the Falklands?
It is in the Falklands, yeah.
Malvinas?
Oh, no, that's our city. Sorry.
Oh, God. Right, let's look ahead then. So, Wednesday, 23rd, the games come thick and fast. We've got a few days off to just take a breather and watch that Japan game again and again and again. Australia v Fiji looks an interesting little matchup.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see the Australians get a run out. Is this kind of not what Fiji were whinging about last time, or Samoa whinging about last time?
Samoa made a very good point last time that they were expected to play, similar to what Japan are doing now, they were expected to play... Two games with like a 3 or 4 day turnaround, which is what Japan are doing, which is fundamentally unfair, isn't it?
It's difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah, it is a bit, and you can see that it's been motivated by money. That's the disappointing thing about it,
because
it isn't a random draw. It's TV. England aren't playing on Saturday because they won a sort of fixture lottery. They're playing on Saturday evening because it will generate the most cash in advertising.
It's got to be paid for somehow.
No, I understand I do understand that. Well, as long as that money that they do generate then gets spread throughout the world game,
to a small elite of players. I'm very clear on this.
So Australia, they're the one team we haven't seen from Paul A so far. What are you expecting?
I would say the Fijians are probably going to be a little out of steam. You wouldn't ask... I don't even think you'd ask a club team, would you, to turn around that quickly?
You never do.
So
6 days is the in the Aviva Premiership.
Yeah. So that's a hard ask for
you. Rarely get you sometimes have Sunday and Friday.
You might occasionally get
very
that.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
So they'll obviously be very pumped up for the England game, and I just wonder if you catch them on. And this will be a lot same for a lot of the small teams that put in brave performances. Whether we're just going to catch them on a bit of a downer, and next thing you know, you're playing Australia.
I think we will be on Wednesday about 6 o'clock. We'll be saying, wow, Australia are one of the real front runners. I think they might rip Fiji to shreds.
I think you're right.
But then I also said, Tonga will beat Georgia and South Africa will roll with
Japan
over easy.
We were quite flippant about that. We really were.
Phil was the one going.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well,
yeah.
The only small shred of credit I can take is I said that Japan might scrimmage okay.
Yeah. So you're not taking credit for their actual performance on the pitch.
Well, that
just
was
recognizing.
That was very humble of you, Jay.
I actually think that the most positive thing from Fiji's performance against England was the shape of their defence. So I think they'll make it life difficult for Australia.
Mm.
It will be interesting to see if they pick up a bonus point. Because
I think they probably will.
I fully expect Australia to win. The bonus point isn't that easy, but it could be crucial.
Scotland versus Japan. That's the first kickoff on Wednesday, 2:30 p.m.
Flip a coin. I just don't know.
I'm annoyed that I'll be in work for this, because this is
I'll be in work,
such...
I will be watching.
Thank you, Chris Moyles, for nicking my job.
This will be a hell of a game. It's so important.
I just don't know.
The stakes are massive.
Yes, yeah.
There's no this game now.
I suppose the upside for Scotland, there's no chance of them underestimating Japan now.
What?
But there's two teams I think are ripe for the taking. New Zealand and South Africa. All those caps don't necessarily mean they're experienced. It might mean they're a little bit old.
Yeah, it means they are experienced, but some of the players are arguably arguably declining from their peak.
Schalkberger is not a world-class eight.
No, and I'm so glad that Jean de Villiers is back and playing. Mm. But he looks like a guy that's had... Not just an injury. He looks like a guy that's had like a serious illness.
Yeah, he's like
he doesn't look well, man, does he? He's really gone.
He's lost
a bit of mass, hasn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
He has. Definitely.
And if you look at the South African pairing that they went with during the championship, they were magnificent.
He would have had to have been like sucking juices through a straw though, presumably, because his jaw was like wired.
The other injury that he's had.
Yeah, because he had his complete knee reconstruction and then came back and played two games.
I completely
and then broke
that.
His jaw and hasn't been able to... Yeah, well...
Couldn't get the calories in.
Well, I mean, you can have protein shakes through a straw, right?
Yeah. Milkshakes are a good way of getting calories, aren't they? McDonald's milkshakes.
Yeah,
efficient way of getting calories.
Yeah. Macca Vinopola, I'll tell you that. So we're all going for an Australia win. Phil's more cautious. I think Australia might. I'm saying after we've completed the first round, after everyone's played, I think Australia are going to look the most impressive, but then England will still do them. Scotland versus Japan. How do you see it go? I think Scotland will win.
Narrow Scotland win for me. I don't want it to be.
Go on, Phil. I want Japan to win.
I really, really want Japan to win.
Oh, just as a side note.
I really want Japan to win.
Canterbury last night sold out of Japan jerseys.
I was saying only the other week, I was in the official World Cup store on Oxford Street and the Japan shirt looked beautiful. I nearly bought one.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is gorgeous. And Canterbury and Adidas have done amazing work. They're clearly winning the stash wars.
Nike is...
Pumas.
Yeah. All gorgeous.
Just a point on Japan. So they have beaten top-tier nations before, but they've never beaten a top-tier nation outside of Japan. So they've beaten Argentina, Wales and Italy and a Scotland select team.
Oh, yeah,
all,
they beat
all
Wales,
in.
I remember
they
that.
Did, but that was during a Lions tour.
The Wales one. But their first victory against a top-tier nation outside of Japan.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Japan for the win.
Good for you, Phil.
Wow.
Bold prediction.
The final two teams we're going to see are Romania and Namibia, and they've both got pretty formidable opponents. France, in a five-day turnaround. What are Romania like? Where are they in the rankings?
I think they're the lowest. Are they the lowest ranked team? I've got it up
here. Uruguay.
I'm guessing Uruguay is lower.
No, Namibia is the lowest ranked team.
Really?
Yeah. Romania just behind Georgia. They're 17th position. Just on the Namibia, have you seen that Jacques has announced his retirement from the end of the season?
What kind of retirement?
Retirement from rugby.
What, all rugby?
All rugby. Retirement from
the end of this coming season?
The end of this year, yeah. End of the 15-16 season.
Oh. It's all gone down Hill since he cut his hair.
Yeah. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, Jay. Oh.
That's a really depressing end to
thanks, Phil.
What's been a really fun podcast.
Yeah, I'll cheer you up a little bit, Tim.
Go on.
Try. Andy Goode's coming back.
No. Johan Uge's out for 6 months.
Oh, there you go.
Why is that nice?
That is karma right there.
It is karma because he should have been banned. He should have been banned from the World Cup.
No, I'm sorry, right? You two nicely calmed out on your, on Mount Pius.
That's not Mount Pius.
Yes, it is.
Mount Pius going, I think that World Rugby...
Do you know what that stumper needs? Do you know what he deserves?
I think that the French Rugby Federation not stepping in when Johan Uge stepped on someone's face deliberately...
Tim, did your mother never tell you two wrongs do not make a right?
...was the most cynical bit of self... What's it called?
Self-preservation
that you can see. That
not Johan, not Uge's fault though.
Stuart Lancaster has engendered a culture, JB.
Yes, Tim. Where, I like it.
Where no one gets away with behaving like that. Dylan Hartley did far less and missed out on a World Cup. Johan Uge just flew under the radar and got let off.
But that's because,
one of the most outrageous things that have happened on a rugby field.
It's nothing really. I mean, you understand that the RFU is now...
It's run by
maniacs. It's run by absolute maniacs who are employing life coaches and... engendering cultures and doing everything which isn't rugby.
Not another rant. We can't have another culture rant. People said they will stop listening if you keep on going with your culture rants. I was being flippant about Uge.
Yeah, we're not happy he's injured.
He's a very talented player.
Yeah,
Okay. He'll be missed.
He will be missed.
He will be missed by me, and I like shouting his name.
Ouje.
But in some small way, I think justice has been served. Unfortunately, it means that he's been injured.
Just has been served a good knee injury.
I'd rather that.
Warms my heart.
I'd rather that he'd just been banned and he'd been perfectly fit and he could have trained and all the rest of it. But,
agreed.
There we go. Right, so quick reminder, you could be going to the Rugby World Cup 2015 with us Egg Chasers, and thanks to DHL, the official logistics partner of the Rugby World Cup. So you could win some tickets for Australia against Wales, the pivotal final match in Pool A. Going to be massive. So, and what we need from you is, because DHL deliver rugby to the world, we want you to deliver us your worldwide rugby moment. You heard some of the stories we gave you earlier. Email yours and send it to tim@eggchasers.com, and our favourite one will win tickets to the Rugby World Cup 2015 and see Australia versus Wales at Twickenham on Saturday, October the 10th. dhlrugby.co.uk/eggchasers for all the details. Competition is open now and closes on Friday, October the 2nd. Get busy with that one, and hopefully we'll have some more stories to share, maybe yours on Wednesday. Also, I suppose we should mention our ESPN Fantasy League.
100% we should.
We've got like over 750 teams in our league, which is awesome. Thank you very much for that. We're chuffed to bits.
I had no idea that Fairy Tale Rugby was so popular.
And we're assembling a pretty cool prize, including, and thank you very much to BT Sport, some VIP tickets to the recording of one of their Rugby Tonight shows is the latest prize we can add to that. So,
which we've been to one of the Rugby Tonight recordings.
It is tremendous fun. It is really awesome.
And we got the VIP treatment when we were there, and you get like Nespresso pods. Lawrence Delalio making you that and offering you some Danishes.
Yep.
Before Ben K gets back and snaffles them all up.
I believe we might have some stash as well that we can give away.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have any details of that yet.
We'll try and get a Japan shirt added to the list. But we'll work on that.
If we get a Japan shirt, I can guarantee you I'm not giving it away. I guarantee you will not. Here's my guarantee to all listeners. You will not get any Japan shirts.
At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Listen on the Acast app and also on iTunes. We love you too. If you enjoy the podcast, take a moment to give us a review and your thoughts there on iTunes, and we will see you on Wednesday after the next round of games in the Rugby World Cup 2015. Already the best World Cup ever. Fact.
Maybe a bit early to confirm that as an official fact.
Good work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Absolute banter flying around already. Lads.
See you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.